Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Howdy to Millennial Money. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, we got a lot to get into tonight. We got to get into the markets, what's going on. There was a big bounce back in a lot of stocks today, including a lot of small cap stocks. We're going to talk about that, get into depth on that. Is now the time to buy heavy? Should we not? All those sorts of things. And obviously, we'll talk crypto and a bunch of other subjects as well tonight. So I hope you guys enjoy this. As always, thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. And thank you to our sponsor, Public, tonight. And we do appreciate you, Graham. You want to tell us a little bit more about Public?
Oh, absolutely. If you're looking for a brokerage that doesn't route your order flow, Public is fantastic. They're a brokerage that I've been using now for almost the entirety of this year. It's so easy to buy and sell stocks on. I love the social feature. So you could basically, you could follow us all on Public. You could see exactly what we're doing, what we're involved in. You could share your thoughts with other investors. It's imagine like, I hate to compare it to like a social media, but basically it's almost exactly what it is. And you could follow other investors. It's a really cool community. I have so much fun with it. They don't route your order flow and they have crypto. Andre, you want to tell us about, or Kevin, you could tell us about the crypto with that, the pink hair.
Oh, absolutely. Crypto, I ran a poll the other day and it was really interesting. The top result for why people invest in crypto was that crypto trends up and you can now invest in crypto on public.com. So check out the link down below and buy your crypto on Public.
Yeah, I think the free stock's worth up to how much? Is it $300 or $1,000? Either way, it's a free stock. You may as well get it. Compliments of Public just for signing up, and you can follow us all on there as well. We'll tell you more about Public throughout the episode, though. You'll like it.
So let's talk about this 2022 madness here. There's always fear that we're going to have this big crash. And a lot of the fear that's going on right now is that we're in this quantitative easing cycle that is now ending. And there's basically no way to go but down. How do we respond to this? How are we changing our investment strategies? Who wants to start with this one?
Yeah, I'll start with it. Sell everything. Go 100% cash. Buy gold, silver. The dollar's going to crash. Everything's going to crash.
No. And you have a gold website now, right?
Yeah, gold.com. No. Financial education, holy smoke, is gold.com. So, no, in all seriousness, guys. So the only thing that worries me, there's one thing that worries me in regards to this upcoming year. And let's just talk about January, February specifically, is I do worry about large caps. Think about it this way. Let's imagine you've had a great year in Apple, Microsoft, Google, you're a fund, you're an individual investor, whoever, right? You could cash out of that right now and pay your big fat taxes very soon, right? Or you could say, let me cash out of that in January, right? And go move that money wherever you want to move that money. And then you've got a whole year plus to play with that money in the meantime, and you don't have to pay your taxes, right? So if there's anything I'm a little worried about, it's actually large caps going into January, because I think there could be some profit taken. There could be some rotation of money. And I think a lot of people, even me personally, as just an example, I wanted to cash a little bit of my Tesla shares, right? But I don't want to cash them this year because obviously they're up like a ridiculous amount and I would have to pay another huge amount of taxes on that. So my plan was, I'll cash out some in January. I was hoping it was going to be over 1,000, but I don't know about now. And so I might not even end up selling, right? But I was even thinking about that, right? And then I get a whole huge time period to play with the money in between now and then. I think there's a lot of folks like that out there. Small caps, I think it's hard to find sellers in those stock, many of those stocks now, because it's just been vicious. Anybody that's held small caps for the last few months, we felt like we've been in a stock market crash, and just no one's realized it, I think, at the end of the day. So
That's interesting.
What do you think, Graham? You think you got any real fears for 22 in the stock market or anything?
I'm not sure. Everything that people have expected to happen, a lot of it hasn't, and the market's trended upwards. I mean, lately we've been on a bit of a decline. But like you mentioned, it could be a lot of selling pressure just for people wanting to lock in their tax rates at the end of the year. It's pretty evident what the tax rates are going to be for this year. So who knows what's going to be in the future. It makes sense that people would sell off losses. But I don't know. Part of me also believes that the market is looking for any reason to sell off. And just like even the minor things are able to push it over the edge. So I think between the new variant, increased interest rates, and the uncertainty for the next year, I don't know. We could see the market continue to drop or we could see it continue to go up and just... I almost spilled my coffee. Almost defy the odds. Yeah, on my new computer, by the way. This is the first time I'm using the new computer. And my coffee nearly just spilt over it.
What computer did you get?
The MacBook Pro M1 Max. I don't know. I got the fully... I splurged on this one. It's like maxed out on almost everything.
I'm going to short Apple now.
The Max Potato, because that's what it looks like, Graham. The Max Potato, okay? So camera quality is... Okay. But no, Kevin, you know, to get back on these stocks, okay, large caps, I mean, you know, a lot of folks have been thinking large caps are super overvalued. And you look at Apple, looks rich, right? Google doesn't look crazy. Facebook's at like a 22 forward P. Google's at like a 53 forward P, which is not high for Amazon, right? Amazon being at a 53 is not high. So even me, I've been thinking about it. PayPal doesn't look high. Tesla maybe trades a little rich, but that's Tesla. Tesla's always going to trade rich. Like, so I've been trying to think, like, where are the overvalued large caps? Is it like Apple? Is it Nvidia? What's your two cents on that?
I mean, how heavy are you into these? Because it seems like so far you've been almost, it feels like almost exclusively small cap. I don't know if you only talk about small cap, but then you have the others in the back, which is fine because sometimes it's like, I'm still holding, you know, what kind of update is there? That's fine. So like, are you thinking about looking for a dip in them or what's sort of your play on that?
No. So as far as me and large caps, the only large caps I really own are Tesla and Facebook. No, I'm just kind of thinking about from the perspective of if we are thinking like large caps fall, right? Because that's what's held everything up. I've just been looking at it recently and I'm looking at Facebook at a 22 forward P. I'm like, can Facebook really fall that much more? It doesn't seem like it. Amazon hasn't moved. We looked last week on Millennial Money. Amazon hasn't moved since August of 2020. So I'm like, is Amazon really going to drop? And so I'm thinking about like, where's the risk if we're thinking about large cap? And I'm like, well, maybe it's Apple a little bit and maybe it's like Nvidia, but it's hard. Maybe it's Microsoft, but I don't know. Kind of, do you think there's any risk in large caps or what's your two cents?
I mean, I wonder if we go through some more continued uncertainty. Maybe we get our first rate increase and we get a lot of sort of like sideways trading. The small caps are still in pain for a while. And maybe we get to this environment where, sure, maybe small the larger caps sell down a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised that once we see what, which I expect to happen, this small cap revolution, this explosion in the smaller caps, that now all of a sudden the larger caps will eventually start looking inexpensive again. And I think there's a chance they could get even higher in 22 or 23. I think they're incredibly efficient companies, at least I believe so. I think the pandemic's helped them weed out. I mean, I was just researching the robotics that Amazon has because I'm trying to invest in robotics companies, honestly. But it's really interesting. The robotics companies are trying to make robots to replace human workers, but they're having trouble hiring enough human workers to make the robots. That's funny. ABB is having that problem, but and I'm sure many of the others. But anyway, so like, I don't know. I have a hard time arguing for the big ones, the big 10 to fall. And like you said, they've been holding up the S&P. I mean, I think if was it you guys who brought up the chart? If you take out the big five or the big 10 out of the S&P 500, the S&P is actually negative since 2020, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was that you, Grim, that brought that up? I
don't think that was me. I've heard that before. I don't think that's been the case recently, though.
If you can find that, Kevin, I would love to see it.
Kevin, yeah, I believe that could be, I don't want to say it's wrong, but I remember that being the case in late 2020, but I don't think that was the case throughout 21. Again, I could be completely wrong.
I'll pull them up. I'll find it. And it was very interesting. I'll find it and I'll pull it up. But yeah, in the meantime, look, the thing is, I think in this environment in the United States, we are going to have the strongest economy in 2022 out of the entire world. I think any kind of negative catalysts are likely to either come from our stupid election that we're going to have in 2022, or which that's way down the road, right? I mean, we're talking like October, November, or it'll be something from elsewhere in the world. You know, it's like the Chinese trade tensions, the Evergrande issues and the fallout from that, Russia, Ukraine, maybe inflation in Latin America. I don't know. Well, you know, South China Sea problems, the Middle East, like those are the catalysts, I think, for 2022 that are going to be the big issues, because I wouldn't be surprised you get a lot of international investors who have very little faith in their country's currency, certainly. I mean, look at Turkey, but not just their currency, but also potentially investments in their countries. I mean, even you look at the FTSE is in the United Kingdom, and they're negative since 2019. You know, they don't have the big caps that we do. So why invest in your country's, you know, total stock market index fund, so to speak? Why not just invest in the American stock market? We're going to be growing, I expect, at a higher rate than where we were in 2019 next year, I hope. We're going to grow slower than 2021. China is going to beat us on growth, but they're going to be coming down. They're going to be slowing down. And so it's not going to look as great as I think what we'll have in here in the U.S. I'm pretty bullish on the U.S., but I do think there are going to be a lot of fears, and we're going to have a lot of sideways trading potentially. I don't know if I see a big downside for the Big Fang, though.
You know what's crazy, by the way? Exactly 1 year ago today, you guys remember this, I got that stock picking monkey. Remember that for that video? The monkey randomly picked some stocks, and I invested $10,000 into all 10 of them. I want you to tell me what you guys think the monkey portfolio did as of right now. So the market's, you know, kind of gone down a little bit over the last week. Jeremy, let's start with you. Do you think, how do you think the monkey portfolio did?
I'm going to guess it outperformed the market.
By how much? That's,
I will say for the whole year, right? For the past year.
Exactly.
I'll say it outperformed by 4%.
All right. Kevin?
And since when? What, December, you said?
December 21st. It was actually this day exactly. And I posted the video 2 days
ago. Sorry, go to Andre first. Hold on.
I'm going to say 35% year to date.
Okay.
So for year over year, you said, right? Because that's right when I unplugged myself. Okay. I don't know. A lot of the indices down, NASDAQ, the S&P, these guys are all sitting 24-25% or whatever. I'm actually going to go with the monkey didn't do that well. It did 18%, but it still beat Kathy.
Okay. unless Andre is cheating, it's 35%.
Wow. No way.
You guessed like on the money. So for reference, the S&P 500 so far this year, let's see what it is right now. I think year over year, the S&P is 26%.
That's what I looked at. I looked at VOO 26. And since you said that, I was like, it's got to be more. By the way, my voice is like shot. So if anyone's watching, like, is Andre, he looks like he's dying. I am. I got tested yesterday. I'm negative, thankfully. But anytime I get sick, I'm like reminded about money. I don't know if you guys have ever been so sick before where you're like, I will give up all the money I have to not feel this crappy. And it's one of those things where it's like, the reason I compare it to money is because health is like, it's not a thing you wake up every day and you're like, I'm so grateful to be healthy. Like, says no one ever. And it's the same way with having like $1 million or being rich. No one wakes up and is like thankful for having money. But when you don't have it, it's like the worst thing in the world. So it's like, health really is wealth. And like, I get so bad with like my fever and my aches. I'm like, I will gladly give up being a billionaire to never feel sick again. Wow. I don't know if you guys ever
heard. You'd like be that. Okay with 999 million.
million. Exactly.
As long as you're not a billionaire.
I would be totally cool being broke and never being sick again. Like, that's just one of those things. Like, all the money in the world means nothing if you're not healthy. So,
truth.
Like, yeah.
You're spitting, Andre. You're spitting, man. Love it. So, no. So let's get back to talking about money, because that offends me that we went off the subject of money. Because
so speaking of money, speaking of the monkey portfolio, it's actually 37% today. So Andre, you're a little bit off. 37%. Now I'll make a full video on this, but the best performer of the entire group was Ford, up 120%.
Wow.
So you're telling me that a monkey is smarter than Warren Buffett? Is that what you're trying to tell us, Graham?
This year, the monkey performed better. Now, we had one loser out of 9 stocks. We had one. Enel Americas is down 31%.
What were now, the others?
Graham, can you remind people that don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah. So a year ago, there was I read something. I think it was the Wall Street Journal that reported that a blindfolded monkey performs better than actively managed funds. And so I thought, you know, the theory made sense is that the monkey is more likely to pick smaller cap stocks that have more upside. And when you invest an equal amount, meaning you're not weighting your investment, like you're not putting more in Tesla because it's worth more, when you're doing an equal amount over most years, that tends to do better. Now, the downside is that during the bad years, they tend to do really bad. So that kind of puts the down, because otherwise everyone would be doing this. So the bad years are really bad, but you're more likely to have good years that kind of boost that up. So I thought, well, I'm going to do this. I'll put $100,000 in this. My worst case is that it's probably going to break even or something. I wasn't worried. I was going to invest the money anyway, so I may as well do this. But yeah, it was actually really surprising. Overall, this monkey portfolio outperformed it outperformed all my investments. When I look at my individual stock investments, I think that was somewhere around where it was like in the high 26, 27% year over year. The index funds were the same. So the same, like 26, 27%. So there was no difference in me going and buying individual stocks versus index funds. I may as well just have stuck with index funds. But this monkey just outperformed everything. And so to do this, I used a random stock generator on Google that I found, and I randomly generated 30 stocks from that list that I could purchase on a brokerage. And then I had the monkey randomly pick 10 of those 30, because having the monkey click the button is too much. But anyway, so that was it. And 37%. So whoever
saw all this, someone not invest with the monkey strategy, and that's it. Like, why would someone not just do that for 30 years?
Because what I said, the losing times lose really bad. So you think of, like, statistically, let's say that 75% of the time you're going to make a little bit of money, but 25% of the time you're going to lose a lot. If you measure year over year, you're likely to make money. But if you hit on those 1 year that doesn't, some of these could get destroyed.
Okay.
Now, What if you're not like affected by the negative years? You're just like, I'll just keep doing this. Is there a point at which the monkey strategy doesn't make sense? If human error was not an input, if it was not a variable in this equation,
you would have. I would say the biggest thing is you'd have to look at the risk adjusted return. Is this sort of volatility worth it? And just like it's up more, it could have just as easily been down significantly worse than the S&P or the rest of the market. So I think when you look at a risk adjusted return, you're probably better off to still with the index fund. But as a fun experiment, I'm doing it again. Another 10 stocks.
I have a question for you, Graham. Yeah. So I'm down 8% on Smile Direct Club, 6% on The Planet, 17% on Voyager Digital, 21% on Corsair, 5% on Honest, 8% on Tattoo Chef. So when's the monkey coming out with a course? Because I'll pay $10,000 for that. I'll do whatever it takes to buy a course from that monkey. Can you have it teach me?
Graham, honestly, if you want to do it, you should have your child pick stocks.
No, I want the monkey. The monkey just got 37%. And Enzo put money in AMC stock. I don't trust him.
Jeremy, you got to come up with your own idea. You can't just copy my ideas.
No. Graham, I need the monkey. Where's this monkey at?
So for anyone, so the monkey, he has a YouTube channel. It's called Monkey Boo. So if did YouTube Monkey Boo.
Monkey Boo.
That was it. Monkey Boo. But I think, Jeremy, it would be fun to have your youngest child randomly pick some stocks. Pick 10, invest $10,000 in each to see how he does.
I think that would kill his confidence for life. How am I going to do that and then tell him, son, you got beat by a monkey and you got destroyed?
He's not going to do as poorly as his dad.
Yes. At least I can.
He's not going to pick Tattooed Chef.
At least I'm ready for that abuse. I don't know if he's quite ready for that level of abuse yet. Oh my goodness, Graham, seriously, that monkey's amazing. Holy I know. Smoke. That's all I got to say about that.
I know. It was also something where I'm keeping an eye on it. If one of my previous crypto videos gets 100,000 likes, I'm doing the same thing, buying the top 10 cryptocurrencies for a year. And that was another strategy that over the last 5 years has done exceptionally well. So I figured if there's enough demand for that, I could do 10,000 each, 10 stocks picked by a monkey. $10,000 each, top 10 cryptos, hold for a year, report back.
I will say the top 10 thing did not work if you started in 2017.
Correct. No. Yeah.
I had top 10. They did not do well.
So for reference, if you had bought January 1st, 2018, the top 10 cryptocurrencies, by the end of that year, that portfolio was down 85% had you done that. 85%. You thought $1,000 turns into $150. It was bad. Even the next year after that, by the way, 2019, had you bought the top 10, your return would have been 1.7%. That's it. You would have underperformed a savings account buying the top 10 cryptos in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like a lot of these studies when they're like, wow, just follow this one strategy, you'll be up a lot, is like, it's cherry picking data. It's like, if you start 1 year earlier, completely different results.
100%. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
It is fun to look at. So, Kevin, what do you think about this monkey? Are you amazed or are you amazed?
No, you know, I actually really appreciated and I did a very almost 40-minute video on Kathy Wood's breakdown and of basically there's this benchmark sensitivity of how we always want to try to compare ourselves to other people at the end of the year or these like fluke strategies or lottery strategies or the index or whatever, rather than focusing on investing in really good, high quality companies for the long term that we expect aren't just going to return, you know, 10%, who cares, whatever. You know, this 26% it's not going to replicate itself over and over and over again in the next years here. Instead of that, focus on the really good quality companies with high margins and great products, the innovation companies. And over the next 10 years, expect that these things will 5 to 10x. I much prefer that. Like, I don't really care about winning. Like somebody left a comment the other day, it was in a live stream or whatever. They're like, oh, my Neo is going to outperform your Tesla. I'm like, what do I care? Like, fine. Then I'm happy for you. Like, please. I hope you win. I hope you make lots of money. I don't care. I want to make lots of money And then I don't care relatively if that means somebody lost money. I'm not going to, you know, pity them or feel happy somebody else lost and I did better or whatever. What do I care? I just want to see my brokerage get bigger. that's what I care about.
That's fair. Yeah. That's the best strategy, Kevin.
Sounds like someone who doesn't have a monkey, though. I'm just saying.
Well, I was waiting for somebody to go there.
Why this portfolio did so well? Gosh.
There's like a famous saying. It's like whoever said money isn't everything is broke or something like that. I think Floyd Mayweather said that back in the day. That's a broke person made that up, he said. So.
Well, Graham. One of us or all of us should make an app. I'm sure there is something like that, but we should make a millennial money app that's just the monkey stock generator. That would be great.
I don't know.
That's a great idea.
Could you imagine the monkey does so good over a period of time that it starts moving stock prices? Like the monkey just picked a new stock and like the stock goes up like 15% the next day.
We just become a hedge fund.
You know what? I mean, you have to think, though, there are the odds where if it's picked at random, there is a chance this monkey could outperform everything for like 100 years. There's a chance statistically that could happen if it's just random. But
well, if anyone's watching this and they're a coder or developer, if you guys could come up with something like that, I love that.
I mean, here's the thing, though. They have a random stock generator, and that's what I used to pick the initial 30 stocks.
Yeah, but this is like an app you could tell people about and you could just be like, without, it's great. It's direct. It's frictionless.
Gosh. Imagine that's like the new portfolios. Just sit there and, you know, you just randomly press the 10. It's like, there you go. You've made your portfolio.
Well, speaking of, there's the monkey one. There's also Becky, right? That's another one that I think, did you try that? I think you did a Becky
portfolio. Oh, the Becky ETF.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was made in a complete joke, but.
How did this one do? I thought you invested in that or tried that. Did that?
No, I don't think I did. No, not in that one.
For anyone unfamiliar, gosh, let me read this up. I quickly refresher, but the Becky ETF, what did that consist of? It was.
I just want to say somebody came up with a name for our app. They called it Millennial Monkey. Thank you, Kurt, for that name.
Wow. That is really good. I like that.
That's pretty funny. You know, that's good stuff.
That's really good. It's one of those ideas that's like, that's dumb, but is it? Hold on. Becky ETF.
Yeah, wait. So I'm looking. So you could go to BeckyETF.com.
Okay, I see it. So it's Adobe, Apple, Chipotle, Etsy, Facebook, Lululemon, Netflix, Pinterest, Peloton, Shopify. That's the top 10. So those are great companies.
So I'm trying to find a video. I mean, it looks like the Becky ETF has beat at what is that, 73%? Is that this year? Oh, yeah, that's through January 2020. But see, these are selected dates. So they conveniently end it on January 12th, 2021, the 15th. So I don't know how it's done this year.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All right. So now's the time we start playing games. Okay. So now's the time when we come up with our own ETFs. Now these aren't, you can't pick like, oh, I want this stock and this stock. This has to be real companies that are public companies that you actually use the products on, let's say, a daily basis or weekly basis. Let's say it's like five stocks in this ETF. Let's call it the Graham ETF. Then it'll be the Jeremy ETF, the Kevin ETF, and the Andre ETF. All right, Graham, you got to start the game out. What is the Graham ETF?
Oh, great question. Well, definitely. See, I would just look at the companies that I'm using myself. Mm-hmm. That would be Apple, Google. There'd have to be some Facebook in there because of Instagram. That would be three of them. We may as well just pick five. Did I say Adobe? I use Adobe all the time. And Tesla. Drive the Tesla.
Oh, okay. That's a solid one. Kevin, what's the Kevin ETF consist of?
You know, I don't know if you do it as like maybe like three different ones where you had like thematic ETFs, like you could do energy, which could include obviously like the Enphase and the Teslas, or you do this as sort of like a basket, like the energy, the advertising and the robotics ETF. So it's like Enphase, Tesla, Trade Desk, Adobe, Facebook, Snapchat, Roku, robotics could be, you know, ABB and who knows, some other robotics companies, whatever, something like that.
You, hey, Dave and Buster's would have to be on yours, Kevin. Come
no,
on,
no recoveries. Yeah. I'll speculate. I'll trade on these, but
that's
no,
not the
no
game,
recoveries.
Kevin. That's not the game, man. The game is you got to actually use these products in real life. That's the name of this ETF. Not like you know some pie in the sky. It's got to be like products or services you use on like a daily basis or weekly basis.
Huh. I think the one I'm thinking of is not public, so I'll have to pick something else. I'll get back to me.
Okay. So let's see. Mine would be, obviously, it'd have to be Tesla. I force myself to eat Tattoo Chef every day of my life, so that's in there. Okay. I'm using Elgato Lights, so Corsair. Apple I use for everything, so Apple's got to be there. And then, yeah, I would have to have Google in there because I use Google search multiple times a day, every day of my life, and obviously spend a lot of time on YouTube. So I'd have to have them in there as well. Andre, I feel like
these are like pretty obvious, straightforward answers, though. It's like, oh, it's what I use. And like we pretty much all use the same stuff. It's got to be more creative. It's got to be like, this is based on your acronym. You know, like what's AJV, Andre Jick, Andre Vladimir Jick. What's like three stocks? I don't know, Apple, Johnson & Johnson, what's Visa? Bam, there's my idea. No, I'm always but it's more creative that way. But you know, but if I was for real, it'd be like Apple and like top two crypto ones if we could mix assets here. So it'd be like Bitcoin and Ethereum.
You actually use Bitcoin and Ethereum, Andre?
I don't need to use it. I just hodl it.
Exactly. Right. It's worthless. You don't use it because no one uses it. You've been talking about using it forever. It just got famous, and
you
now
countries and people using it for remittances. That's useless, right?
You know what I had to say. Speaking of Ethereum, I spent this entire weekend working on researching everything and trying everything I could to learn about the metaverse. The more I researched the metaverse, the better I felt about Ethereum, because almost all of them run on the Ethereum blockchain, and it's just it's incredible the projects that could be built from that network.
Yeah. That's why people are so excited about Solana, right? It's like the competitor. So I know, Kevin, you're a big Solana fan.
Yeah, it's one of my larger holdings in crypto. I'm excited for the metaverse to like get real. Like when we actually can put on those VR goggles and start doing some practical things. It's so early, which sometimes like being really early Sometimes being really early sounds good. Because early is often associated with high returns, right? Because we have this, I almost think it's a cognitive bias. It's probably the survivorship bias, where when we think, oh, wow, that person got in early on Uber, or early on, you know, Amazon or Google or whatever, right? Oh, they made so much money. Well, yeah, because we're only talking about the survivors, right? But think about all the death of companies that happen in the early stages. I mean, how many companies fail? It's a landmine battlefield of just death and destruction out there. And we, you know, at the finish line, the beach at the finish line, you know, nobody's talking about all the dead bodies in the field, basically. So, you know, I am worried that there's a lot of speculation in metaverse, you know, people going into random games that have nowhere near the playability of actual games like that are made by Epic Games or Activision Blizzard or whatever, right? Nowhere near the playability, nowhere near the functionality, nowhere near the graphics. Like these are slapped together games made on an engine by developers who maybe have some game background. And then that's it. We're selling plots of land in here and they're NFTs and boom, people are like, well, I better buy it because this could go to the moon. I just think it's a massive minefield. And so I love the metaverse. I love the direction we're going, treading very lightly.
Yeah, that's kind of how I summed up my metaverse video too. Is like you want to be early, but there are points of tech that's just too early.
And too early. That's a good way to put it.
this is just too early to say. You're literally gambling. You might as well go to the casino at this point. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And that's a thing that I think is a risk for crypto, not to bring it back to a risk for crypto. But no,
I think at this point, crypto's well on its way, though. I wouldn't say it's too early. I feel like we're like, hey, there's the beach. I can kind of tell what that is over there.
Yeah. So that's the same argument they were making during the tech bubble, right? They were like, it's pretty close. It's not there yet, but we're pretty close. And Amazon fell, 94%. So
what would it take for you to feel like, I guess, it's not quite early? Like, what does it take for you to be convinced, I guess?
Yeah, you got to see it play out a lot more in the real world. It's got to become, a part of a lot of folks' everyday lives, which it just isn't. It flat out, there's not, like I said, like, who's using this? I don't know anybody, So it could be big. And that's the same argument they were making during the tech bubble. Like, this is going to be big, guys. This internet thing is going to be big. And they were right. And that's the whole thing with crypto. It can be huge, but you have this time period that you're going to have to go through to get to that moment. Then you have, like, who are going to be the actual big players and who isn't going to be the actual big players, right? And so everybody's kind of placing their chips on the table. And, and we'll see. Maybe it's
the maturity of blockchain companies or companies like the Coinbases and the BlockFi's and the Voyagers. I mean, their businesses is literally built on the backs of crypto. Yeah. So how do you have one without the other? Like, how do you say that the asset itself is speculative? Meanwhile, the businesses that they're established on would, by that logic, be way more speculative.
They're also speculative in the sense of the same way stock brokerages were somewhat speculative during the tech bubble, right? During the tech bubble, everybody was trying to get, in the stock brokerage game and E-Trade and all those stock brokerages were tearing it up at that time, right? So many new customers coming on. And obviously, they still made it through, just like most crypto brokerages will likely make it through. If we even, maybe we never have a crash, like any sustained crash. But if we do, a lot of them will probably make it through, right? Just like in the tech bubble, those companies still made it through because there's still going to be always a lot of people that want to own cryptos. It's just a question of who's going to be the real winners and who's not. Because during the tech bubble days, there was a lot of people like, oh, this is going to be the big winner. This is going to be the big winner. So many of those companies went under, just like many of these crypto projects will go under, right? And so,
go ahead. I can't speak on a lot of the other ones, but like with Bitcoin and Ethereum, it just seems like clear that they're going to be around no matter what. I'm just not sure I follow the explanation. Maybe it's just because I'm sick and I'm slow right now, but I acknowledge the presence of the tech bubble that was a part of our history, but I'm not sure I'm connecting the dots with how, like, what does it take for Jeremy to acknowledge that Bitcoin and Ethereum are going to be a big part of the future? Jeremy have to see or be proven that that's,
So in terms of Ethereum, I think it's much clearer for Ethereum that they have a future, right? Bitcoin, I don't know. I'll be honest. Bitcoin, what has gotten Bitcoin to $1 trillion? The fact that it's the most famous investable asset in the world, right? Everybody knows Bitcoin. And what does everybody know Bitcoin from? The fact that a bunch of people made a bunch of money on Bitcoin. And that's just the honest truth.
No, I don't
think that's Andre, come on. You're way too in it. You're way too in it, man.
Okay, I could explain. Yeah.
Okay, Bitcoin's, go ahead.
Bitcoin's not the most popular one because a lot of people made money in it. It's because it had a lot of qualities about hard, sound money that people want that other ones don't have. It's the decentralization aspect, the limited, aspect of it, the ultimate penultimate control over property that humans have never had before. And I think a lot of the other cryptos don't share that same quality. So I mean, is it popular? Yes. Was it the first? Yes. Did people make money with it? Yes. But that's not why it's in the top three and why it's been number one for as long as it's been around.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think there's about this many people that know Bitcoin from that story. And there's about this many people that know Bitcoin because it made a bunch of money and it's gotten famous and it's everywhere.
But it does not invalidate it in the same way that it doesn't invalidate Tesla. If we went back 6-7 years ago and said, no one knows what Tesla is. That's what a dumb company. Who drives Teslas? That's so stupid. Like, that's the same argument.
No one knew Tesla for Tesla stock, right? People knew Tesla because they saw the company and they're like, oh, this is a cool product. They went to their stores and they saw it and it's like in the mall, right? So no one thought, oh, Tesla stock first. I'm going to make money off this. They thought this might be the future. EVs, this is a cool thing.
It doesn't change the fact that if people, I mean, you could argue that now, right? People are buying Tesla stock just because it's popular. Is it really valued that? Maybe. But getting its valuation based on hype, regardless of how many people own it for that hype, doesn't invalidate the fundamental aspect of what makes it good.
Yeah, good point. But that's when it comes back to valuation, right? And just like in the tech bubble, you know, we spoke about Amazon falling 93-94%. You know, who's to say that can't happen in crypto? Maybe it doesn't, right? And maybe right. This, you know, it's different.
Well, I think all valuations are based on speculation, right?
Graham was trying to say something, but I think your mic is muted, Graham, just so you know. You can't hear you. Can't hear you, amigo.
Ah, there we go. Weird. Now, I was saying that you mentioned, Jeremy, it dropping 90%, and I was saying it has. How many crashes have there been, Andre, that where it dropped like 90%, like four times, I think, in its history where it dropped more than 85%?
I'm sure more than that even.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of where the debate is, you know, at least in my opinion, that's where the debate should be, is like, who's actually going to, you know, be the big thing. I think everybody's putting their chips on the table where they want to put their chips on the table. And that's fair. Right. But I think it always comes back to valuation and what deserves to be traded at what and why does it deserve that valuation? I think that's where we always come back to. Right. And trying to figure that whole game out. So the argument in crypto is that I've heard is it's a different market. So you can't put a number on it, right? It's just, it is what it is, you know, whether Bitcoin's 500 billion or 1 trillion or 10 trillion, it's just, it is what it is. And that's kind of been the argument there, but I don't know, we'll see. I think it's really, I think it's intriguing. I think crypto's going to be around long-term. There's no question. I think crypto, it has a future. There's no doubt about that. It's just a question of, do the ones that are the biggest now deserve to be the biggest? Just like did the ones that were the biggest in 2017 deserve to be the biggest, right? And the ones that were the biggest in 2014 deserve to be the biggest.
Well, I will say that I'm sure we could all agree that technology moves very fast, right? Like better tech replaces old tech really quick. And it's really hard for bad tech to stay number one for a long time. So for Bitcoin to be number one as it has for as long as it has, despite the fact that there is better tech, wouldn't make sense why it's still number one.
I think at the end of the day, I think if you're thinking about playing crypto, right, most people have no clue about the altcoins. So if you know anything about crypto, let's just say, hey, I want to put some money in crypto. What are you thinking of? You're thinking of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and more than likely Bitcoin, because that's all you know. And who really wants to dig in there and go through all the altcoins unless you're super into crypto?
No, I disagree. I think the way that it plays out is people find out about Bitcoin because that's the one they know about. And then very quickly, they'll discover the altcoins and they'll research that far more than they'll ever research and understand what Bitcoin's all about. And then they'll come back with the strongest opinion ever about this new tech that they found that's so much better and faster and cheaper and more decentralized than Bitcoin. And in the end, they realize that that's not exactly how it works. So I disagree. I think it's the exact opposite journey.
So you think there's nothing that can replace Bitcoin, essentially?
At this point, I think it'd be very, very difficult to replace what it's trying to be. Is it the best for use as currency? No, it's not. You know, but it depends on what you're trying to value it for.
Yeah, and so you're valuing it as like a digital gold, essentially.
No, I'm valuing it as the penultimate control over property.
So explain that to the folks.
Yeah, I'm confused on that, Andre.
Yeah, so John Locke wrote that principle about like life, liberty, and property, right? I could get it really like deep into it, but I'm going to put you guys to sleep. But okay, so we wrote about life, right? So the metaverse, I can go into my spiel. So the metaverse is kind of ties into everything. So there's life. So the government is supposed to balance society and supposed to protect life, right? But it could also take life away. Obviously, we know this. We found out. It's also supposed to protect property, but it can also take property away. Civil forfeiture is a big thing. I don't know if you guys have ever read it. It gives the government control to take your stuff away, especially if you get pulled over and they see cash. Anyway, the whole point of the metaverse is just to basically create a world. So the metaverse is not a place. It's a place in time that allows us to basically experience those three things, life, liberty, property, in a way that we cannot experience here in the physical world. So Bitcoin, in this sense, is control over property in the same sense of it cannot be confiscated from you by anyone. Like there's no government that can come along and confiscate it. Like people thought that about gold, but the government did confiscate people's gold in the 70s. Well, are you confused?
No, because didn't they just confiscate a bunch of Bitcoin from a bunch of people that stole a bunch of Bitcoin very recently?
You mean the Sony thing?
Yeah, there was something that happened recently, and the government got all that Bitcoin back.
About the creator of Bitcoin, right? Wasn't that the wallet?
No. There was something where somebody stole a bunch of Bitcoin.
I know what story you're talking about. U.S. to return 154 million stolen by Sony employee, right?
Yes, yeah, I can't remember if that was a specific one, but the government.
Yeah, there's no way money. They're going to get it back unless they coerced or pressured that person into giving back the private key. That's it.
Yeah, we'll keep going on. I'll find it in the meantime, but keep going there.
All right. So Bitcoin is basically the control over property, and metaverse is basically a way to interpret this stuff in a digital world.
Andre, it was the FBI ransom, by the way, the Colonial Pipeline. The FBI got the money back.
Yeah. So if that person, whoever stole it, had their private key, the only way they'd give it up is if they physically gave up the private key. That's the only way to take that Bitcoin away. So I don't know how they did it. But in the same sense, like if you had cash right now, I could club you on the head and take your cash. Could I do that with Bitcoin? I can't do that. I could pressure you into giving me your private key, but at the end of the day, I can't take it away from you.
Yeah, 100%. But the issue we have here, Andre, is Peter Lynch. I don't know if you ever heard of Peter Lynch. I was watching watching a great interview with Peter Lynch recently, and he says, man, if you can't explain your investment in 30 seconds, you're not a good investment, man. I don't know. We're still trying to figure out this whole thing. Graham and I are still looking. We're a little confused, man. You're talking about all these crazy things.
Wait, hold on. You asked me to explain Bitcoin in 30 seconds, or you asked me to explain a complex concept of property?
But why can't we explain this faster? Why is it taking so long? I want to know it in 30
because
seconds.
You have to understand the context first before you understand why it's important in the first place.
I don't know, Andre.
You didn't ask me to defend my investment thesis. You asked me, what do you mean about property? Why is Bitcoin control over property?
Okay, that's fair. But so you're basically saying we're in the metaverse, right? And correct. Bitcoin, you can control property with Bitcoin?
Yeah, because your property, your Bitcoin is your property, right? It's the one thing you have that is something that the government cannot debase through issuing more currencies, essentially, the argument. It's the one thing that does not fluctuate with someone's external like debasement of it. That's why it's control over said property that is in no way, like you cannot express that same control over any other asset class.
Yeah, that's fair. No, but I don't know how we went this deep on the subject. I think, you know,
it's a really interesting subject. Like, it can go really deep with it, but it puts people to sleep. Yeah. I'm not in the best state to explain that right now.
No, it's good. You were talking about the metaverse, and I was speaking with somebody a few weeks ago about the metaverse, and we were talking about like the future and like, what does a metaverse look like? Do people actually want to do it? Because that's a lot of debate right now, is people are like, this sounds stupid. I don't want to put on a headset for 10 hours a day or whatever. And he was basically making that argument. And then I brought out the point. I said, well, you know, if you were to go back in time, let's say you were to go back 75 years ago, or even 50 years ago, and I was going to tell you, you're going to spend 8-10 hours a day looking at screens. You're going to constantly be looking at screens. I'm pretty sure those folks back then would be like, that sounds like a horrible life. I don't want to do that, right? And here we are today, and that's all we do. We look at screens all day long, right? You know, you wait somewhere, you pull out your phone.
So, 25 years ago, you could find videos on YouTube from 25 like years ago that were recorded. But people are like, what's the internet? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, it's this crazy place. And people are like, sure. Yeah. You and your beanie babies.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so I think that's just, it's just interesting, because I think it's just gonna, you know, weave its way in our lives over time, and then it'll become the normal thing, and no one will kind of second guess it. So you know, but a lot of people are like, well, this is stupid, because they're like, well, we're gonna spend so much time in our virtual worlds, right? And it's like, maybe we already do, you just don't realize it yet, right?
Well, the metaverse is just a high fidelity version of what we're experiencing right now. It's just like a more polished version of the internet we see today, except we're just going to experience that same thing. And again, in a place that's a lot more, I guess, pretty and graphically oriented and more 3D and more interactive.
It would be cool to get to a point where we could select our own avatars, sit at the table together, put on our headsets. All of you watching could put on your headset, and it's as though we're sitting at the table together. It's like us four and you with the table with us.
What you just said right there is one of the three tenets. That's liberty. That's the freedom to represent yourself in any way you want. Physically, you're not limited to your person. You could be any character you want. You're of your own choosing. You can do whatever you want in this world. That's the second part of the metaverse, is liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to stick up for you, Andre, because I was poking a little bit of fun at, you know, your long explanation there. But to be fair, we're so early days in this. It is kind of fair to have a longer explanation, because I remember, you know, just in the stock market, there was a time with the cloud, you know, which is now we all just know is basically just storing your information on a bunch of data servers, right? Like, people would have to try to explain like what the cloud is so hard, and it was like ridiculous. And then even social media, like I remember when Facebook was going public and they were talking about this is probably, I don't know, 2012 or 2011 now, and they were trying to explain like what Facebook is and like what is social media and how does it work and how do you make money from it, right? And now it's just like so easy to explain it. You could explain Facebook's whole business model in less than 30 seconds, right? So
My grandparents in Russia still don't understand what I do for a living. I'm like, I make videos for the internet. They're like, what is that? What is like the internet? I kind of understand, but I don't.
Imagine they're like, OnlyFans, right? Is that how you make it? I've heard of that before.
No, but it's
I heard
crazy,
about that
yeah.
watching Graham's video with your iced coffee podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Wild story. Go watch that. That was, wow. That was so fascinating. Just this 23-year-old med student going to OnlyFans after anxiety in college to making millions of dollars a year.
I think $200,000 a month,
and still wants to go on to become a doctor, which totally can, you know, not saying once you do this you can't do something else, right? I think it's so cool. It's just incredible really. Ambition. Jeez, 23.
Yeah,
Graham, don't you have an OnlyFans, or you had one?
Yeah, well, I posted like my basically what I'm buying, and
Graham exposed, but it's not, like at all physically exposed.
Did not do that well. No, I'm definitely told they're you know, it's not meant for just like posting about your investments. I mean, obviously, but so it didn't translate as well as I expected. But you know what, I wanted to try it, gave it a shot. And that's it.
I think you should just post more feet pictures. That'll probably do better.
Bro, that, yeah.
Graham exposed anyway. In the metaverse. Oh, man. Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Look, I mean, I think listening to this broad conversation here, half philosophical and half Warren Buffett confused, I think there's an element here of, and we've mentioned this before, but really separating that blockchain tech from the businesses, because think about that dot-com bubble, like we've referenced here, how many companies we don't know about. Sure, there's some survivors, you know, like the Amazon or whatever, but I mean, I don't even know what the statistics are, but what is it? Somewhere around probably 80, 90% of the companies that are around then aren't here anymore. Yeah. The same thing's going to happen in cryptocurrencies. Could that in theory happen to the big two right now? It's probably least likely, but of course that's possible. You know, I think there was mention of what about all the businesses that exist on these? Well, businesses can just move to a different blockchain. And that's one of the incredible things about the blockchain is what we really love about blockchain is the technology, the asymmetric cryptography. I mean, the immutability of it is really an incredible technology. And so I love it. I think it's so fascinating. But in terms of everything built on top of the blockchain, what's going to be here in 10 years? Mostly speculation.
I agree. I'm really excited, though, for the whole concept of DAOs. I don't know if you guys know what they are.
Yeah, Kimball Musk wanted to do one for nonprofit work, which I thought was kind of cool. Like having really nonprofit, cool. Like the donors vote. Yeah. Okay, what should we do with the money? You know, it'll be interesting to see how they actually decentralize these things because they always start as cows.
Yeah, I think that'll play. There was this one company I used to use called Shapeshifter. And it was basically like atomic swaps between cryptos. So like I could deposit a Bitcoin and I can convert it immediately to Ethereum. There were no exchange fees. There was no buyers and sellers. It just swaps them. It was like an open free marketplace. But it was centralized. It was owned by somebody, by like a company. And then they got into some regulatory trouble from New York and they basically converted to a DAO. So then it just became a decentralized exchange, essentially, where you can just put your coins in and then it spits out whatever you want it to convert to. It's called Shapeshifter. Wow. Yeah, it's a really cool thing. I think DAOs are going to play a much bigger role, but I don't know when, whether that's 10, 20, 30 years from now. I don't know when.
You know, I went to shapeshift.com and the first thing you get here, and this screams 2002 to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
It's not. It's not very. What is this? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Jeez.
Have you guys seen 125% is actually very, very modest. I've seen ones that's that have eight.
Yeah, for Andre, that's 000. Conservative.
Yeah, no. I've seen 8 to 9,000, like legit 8 to 9,000 APR, which is insane.
Yeah, legit for 2 months until the Ponzi collapses.
Even, no, it's a day. You lose money in a single day.
It's a day.
Yeah, it's a day. I didn't play with it. I just had somebody who experimented with it and they told me the results. But yeah. Wow. You lose faster than you gain on the interest. Yeah.
Oh man.
That's crazy.
Okay, yeah. So who's keeping cash for this 2022 crash? Is anybody actually going into 2022 with cash? Jeremy's leaving because he doesn't have any money and he had to sell his Tesla. I don't know. Any of you guys going in with cash or are you just plowing it all in?
I have cash, but a big chunk of that's going to be paying taxes soon.
Yeah. So excluding taxes, who's going into 2022 with any cash and how much, like percentage wise?
Gosh, what's my percentage? I'm probably under 10% cash at this point.
Yeah.
I got very close by, well, not very close, but close enough where I was going to take all the money that I had for taxes and dump it into a big apartment building.
I was going to put like $3 million down and I'd be able to get a $6 million write-off in cost segregation.
Wow.
Yeah. So that would wipe out basically whatever I would owe, which is.
Your audio's a little funky, Graham.
We lost you a little bit there on audio.
I keep saying my mic was unplugged. But yeah, I think I want to do that.
I think that M1 chip is coming unplugged. Yeah. What about you, Andre?
I'm going to have less than 10% after taxes as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I just did a video about like inflation and deflation. I used to really believe that we'll have crazy inflation next year. And maybe we will, kind of like we had in the 40s.
Hmm.
But it's interesting. I'm not 100% convinced anymore that we'll have inflation. I could see how we'd have a back to normal kind of thing. So I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50 on it, whether we're going to have deflation or not deflation necessarily, but just like normal inflation, 2%.
Right.
But
Jeremy?
Yeah. Dude, I'm so low. I'm down to like my last few hundred thousand dollars now at this point. I mean, it's just, I got
first world problems.
Yeah, I got nothing, man. I mean, like, you know, it's so bad. No, in all seriousness, I always preach 10 to 30% cash all times. 10% if you get low, but I broke my own rule, man. I'm so far below 10%, you wouldn't believe it.
Jeremy, most people are like, I'm down to my last dollar. You're like, I'm down to my last few hundred thousand dollars.
Well, we got $1 million in cash right now, guys.
No, you see, I'm smart. Unlike you guys, I don't have to pay taxes because I just hire everybody and I give them all my money. So yeah. I have no money to make to pay taxes. Then everybody else has to pay the taxes.
You're like, guys, pro tip, smart. If you lose a lot of money, you don't have to pay much in taxes.
Yeah, just hire everybody. You never have to pay taxes. That's what Amazon does. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, employees are the biggest thing that bankrupt businesses. I am about 8% in margin right now. I had to pay taxes today, I'd be like 50% or more in margin.
Wow. What's your plan on that? Is it just to make as much money as possible to pay this tax bill or to sell off? Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to make some videos on this, but there were some
make more videos to pay for it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there were some big ideas I had, bottom line, it all kind of turned into it made more sense this year to just look and go, look, I'll bite the bullet and pay the taxes and short of just going out and blowing a bunch of money on a bunch of new crap that I don't really need. I just figure I'll just invest it. Let me see what I can do, especially since we're relatively honestly, December's been kind of a crappy month. A lot of things went down. I mean, unless you were just all in S&P, and anything else you held didn't have a great December. So the worst time to honestly have bought something that could have given you a big deduction would have, in my opinion, been this month, because a lot of your stuff would have been down. So it'd be like you'd be selling low to get a tax write-off. And then, watch your stocks blow up in the next 3 to 6 months. And it's like, well, crap, that could have just paid the taxes.
Kevin, so. I'm thinking this year would have been the year to get back into real estate.
2021?
Yeah, would have been this year for both segregation and rents. Rents was three times higher.
I kept buying, mostly singles. I'm even in escrow literally right now on a fixer upper. I just like, anytime they come up, I buy them. I pick them up like they're candy. I love them. But big multifamily, it's attractive from a depreciation point of view. But the funny thing is, a lot of the multifamily that I was seeing substantially overpriced because you have a lot of people with these problems. So what you're finding is either funds or sellers are getting people into really, really expensive multifamily real estate at these crazy gross rents or super low caps. And it's because people are like, oh, but I'm going to get the tax saving. I'm not necessarily saying that about your deal, Graham. I'm sure you found a great deal. I'm just saying in general, I'm seeing that, whether it's buying a big asset or it's buying a building, it's like the sellers are pricing in, well, you're going to get the tax benefit. So yes. I agree with you.
I agree with you for every single deal I've seen listed online.
Yeah.
This deal was not online,
and that's what I imagine is that you found something cool, which I applaud you for that. I think that's great. And hey, you know what? You didn't do it. Don't worry about it. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Do it next year. You know?
Yeah, it's just an issue of banks not able to guarantee a closer this year, and that would be the only purpose.
Oh, you would have had to have. And I actually, it's so funny you say that. I wrote two $10 million offers, just as an example, spoiler. Mm-hmm. I wrote two $10 million offers and I was prepared to buy both buildings. One was in Culver City, I think, and one was in Ventura.
No way.
Culver City.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to.
Wow.
But anyway,
finally go
like,
to my
the,
okay.
The more I research them, the more I'm like, I'm getting into, in my opinion, an overmarket deal and a management headache. For what? A little bit of a bigger number? Like, the deals just weren't exceptional. And if the deal's not good, I get frustrated, you know? So then I'm just like, F it. And I was doing this around Thanksgiving because I'm like, I got to close it this year.
Was it residential or commercial?
All resi.
Multifamily?
Yeah.
Culver City is a great area, man. Really great. I mean,
there was an asterisk on this one. I'll tell you about it. But anyway.
Okay. Graham. Yeah. Our neighbor next door, Culver City, by the way. Elba just met them the other night.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. They're moving. So I'm going to be surrounded by Californians. Wait,
Jeremy, the one next to you, the couple?
Next to me, directly, yeah.
I met them, too. They seem very nice. We didn't talk that much, but I just introduced myself.
Cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speaking of people moving into a house, we actually had one of, like, the homes that we would potentially like to move in came up. And we're like, oh, we should, you know, buy that and then maybe pre-spend, like, with a contractor or whatever as a tax write-off for designer or whatever. And literally today, Lauren and I, we went to breakfast and we're like, why are we spending money just to try to save on taxes? We're complicating our lives. Just pay the freaking government. Screw it. So, I mean, that's at least the decision we made this year. Maybe we'll have better planning next year.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Kevin, because I don't know if I misunderstood you and I don't know if the audience did. Were you saying basically, you said something about your 7% or 8% margin right now. Mm-hmm. Were you trying to say if this was April and it was tax time that you would technically be 50% margin? Did I hear that right? Whoa. So what's the plan, man? Because you sound like you're going to be as screwed as me if this market tanks a bunch more, man. So what's the situation? What are you thinking?
I mean, I don't expect the market to tank. And so I'm willing to take that risk.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I really don't expect that. Not even really a consideration. Yeah.
Okay. So,
we'll see how this ages. We can always clip that out.
No.
It's totally possible. I mean, then what? Okay. So you can't pay your taxes in April. Okay. You file extension, you pay the penalties and late fees. Great. I got another 6 months. Okay, cool. You file your taxes in October. And you make whatever payment you can, and then I guess you owe the rest to the IRS. What are they going to do? Sue you? It's going to take them 2 years. So you know, I got a long time to pay this crap. Okay. Now my expectation is I'm going to be able to pay it, but I could play the game very long.
Okay,
that's true. And with the penalties, it's 0.5% per month plus 3%. So over a year, Kevin, you would be paying 9% a year. Yeah, that's what
Kevin's like, you're stressing me out. Beer,
non-deductible.
Beer,
by the way, you he's can't like, write that off. So,
let's change the subject, guys. Let's not talk about this.
Like, yeah, you know what? Speaking of changing subjects, Jeremy, is there something you want to talk about tonight?
There's nothing I want to talk about. No, in all seriousness, as soon as this stream's over, it's baby time. So, baby likely coming tonight. So, baby number three.
What do you think the chances are she's going to have the baby in the next few hours? So it's like before midnight, or do you think it's after midnight?
Yeah, if I was to put odds on it, I think there's about a 20% probability it comes before 10 p.m. I would say it's about a 30% upside that it comes before 11. It's probably about 50% before midnight, probably about a 70% by 1 a.m. And so the risk-reward ratio on this baby coming after 10 p.m. is very high.
We need the over-under.
Yeah, you guys want to make a bet on it when the baby comes? Imagine.
Oh, we should. Guys. We should.
I'd put 100. I'd do 100 bucks if you guys want to. It's up to you. We get, you know, I'm going to get, Jeremy, I'm going to throw out a guess here.
Okay.
I'm going to, when did she get to the hospital?
3:30.
Can we get centimeters here? Or is that too much?
We Jeremy, can't get centimeters. I would give up too much detail.
I'm going to guess 12:47.
Well, but then we have uneven information because Jeremy knows the number.
Oh, I'm not part of it. It's more between you three.
Oh, okay. I'll take 4:20 a.m.
What time?
4:20
a.m.
4:20.
Dude, you're having a Planet 13 baby.
Yeah.
Bye.
This is what I'm going to wear to the hospital too, so it would make sense. 4:20.
I didn't even know you were wearing that. That's great. So 4:20.
What about you, Andre?
I guess I'd have to be below both of you, right? because that would be so. Graham, you said what time did you say?
We just do whoever's the closest.
Yeah. So you said 12:46, right?
12:47.
I'll say 12:46. So I cut. I got covered everything before then. So anytime before then, I'm the closest.
All right. That's fair. I think you played it. You played it smart.
Yeah.
So yep. So 4:20, 12:47, and then Andre, you said what was it? 11.
12:46.
12:46. That's.
We should have quartered Graham. 12:48. 12:46.
Yeah, oh gosh.
That'd imagine I'm right.
Yeah. Oh, it was 12:47.
Yeah.
Jeez, Graham, if you're right,
yeah,
you get $1,000 from me in free
play. Jeremy owes you a Bitcoin.
No, not a Bitcoin. I'm not going that far.
How about this, Jeremy?
That's real money.
How about this, Jeremy? You could sign up on Public, and you get your free stock down below in the description.
Oh, I love that. And that's from our sponsor today, Public.com.
That's my sponsor. All you got to do, guys, is link down below in the description. You're not going to regret it. You're going to have a great time. They're a great platform. They don't route your order flow. You could see what everyone is doing. It's basically this entire community of investors just like you that outlook for long-term trading. If you want to be a part of it, it's fun. You basically, you could hang out with your friends and just talk investing. It's a blast. So I highly recommend. Link is down below in the description if you want to be a part of it.
I like how you said they're not going to regret it. Like, I imagine someone get a free stock. Like, God, I regret this free stock.
Well, there could be some other brokerages out there that people regret signing up for. We don't have this to get there. You're out there. So, yeah. So, the same.
As in, Graham has hundreds of thousands of dollars invested into those companies. Robert, excuse me. Sorry about that. Hey, are you guys still playing the Hood? What's the situation with that stock? Is the Hood in play anymore? Or is that done?
Yeah, you still got the Hood? I watch all of Kevin's live streams, and every live stream is like, what do you say, Kevin? Oh, this is getting juicy. It's getting juicy now.
Yeah, juicy. I think, look, there are a list of stocks that are so close to their bottoms. Hood's one of them, in my opinion, unless we have some kind of black swan. I mean, I wrote it down. I'll just say really quick. Lemonade 40, DocuSign 140, SoFi 14. Beyond Meat 62, 65, Cloudflare 129, Enphase 180, Hood 18, Matterport 21, 22, Piton 40, Carnival 1780, Affirm 92, and Toast 30. Like, these are companies, in my opinion, they fall into these levels, and the market will go red. And you'll see, like, Tesla's down like 5%, and these companies aren't falling through those floors. Or if they do, they fall through very, very briefly. And so I think a lot of the companies on this list, I mean, unless they're just going to be permanent losers, which is entirely possible, I think there's a really good chance for a big rebound on a lot of these, especially Robinhood. I mean, Robinhood, a 75% dilution. That's insane at the beginning of December. At the same time, what else happened at the beginning of December? December 3rd, December 6th were some of the bloodiest days this month. And it's only been followed by more blood. So I'm optimistic on a U-turn within the next 4 weeks.
Kevin, do you have limit orders on those when you're buying, like, let's say $1 million worth of a share? Do you have a limit order on a specific price, or do you manually buy it when you find it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't keep open limits all the time, because then I'd probably go 100% margin because I'd forget what all my limits are. Like, I just can't track that all. Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to do a larger order, I set your limit relatively close to where it is. So the price doesn't move within the candlestick. If I'm just doing, like, for example, just for relativity, if I'm going to buy $100,000 in Shift Technologies, you can bet I'm setting a limit. If I'm doing $100,000 in Tesla, it ain't going to make a freaking difference. I'll set it in as a market order. It's going to be like the same price, you know, it's not going to move. So yeah.
Now, Kevin, I got one last question here tonight before we wrap up. And I don't know if people are trolling me or if there's any truth to this, but I'm hearing rumors that you're in the chef. Is this accurate, or is this just BS and trolling going on?
No, I'm not in the chef, but I think that the chef is part of a unique group. I just posted a video about this. The chef is part of a unique group of stocks. Then that would be Corsair, Tattooed Chef, Lemonade, and Shift Technology Technologies. These four, I personally almost am tempted to make like a little basket where like I take X dollars and I put 1/4 into each of these, because these four have extremely low retail buys or potentially even retail outflows, and they're extremely highly shorted. Well, I shouldn't say extremely, but they're highly shorted, 33 to 35%. And that's a really interesting matchup, because as soon as the retail buyers come back to those, if they do, maybe they don't, but if the retail buyers come back to those, the hedgies are going to pick up on that, cover their shorts, and you can have some big moves in those particular four.
So we're going to get a squeeze for the TTCF. Got it.
Kevin's all in TTCF. Wrap it up, Graham.
So with that said, guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure to get your free stock down below in the description when you sign up for Public. That's it. If you want to help us out, if you want to help the channel, that's all we ask in return, and that you subscribe. Hit the like button. Feel free to follow the Clips channel also down below in the description. But more important than anything, get that free stock. Enjoy. Let us know which free stock you get. Until next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.